U.S. military commanders say they have largely settled on a war plan for Iraq. If President Bush gives the order, the action is likely to begin with a powerful bombing campaign and near-simultaneous ground offensives. The aim will be a quick defeat of the Iraqi regime. U.S. forces in that case would become an occupying authority, responsible for securing and stabilizing the country. Defense officials say the design of post-war operations in Iraq is now becoming the principal concern of Pentagon planners. NPR's Tom Jelton reports.
An American victory in Iraq would initially put the country under the authority of General Tommy Franks, who will lead the war effort as head of the U.S. Central Command. But the plan is to keep Iraq under military rule only as long as it takes to secure the territory. Authority for the country would then be transferred to a Pentagon-based unit called the Office of Reconstruction and Humanitarian Assistance. To direct the office, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld appointed Jay Garner, a retired three-star Army general who oversaw relief operations in northern Iraq after the 1991 Gulf War. Garner is not giving interviews, but he's made one point well known. Because he's now a civilian, it's wrong to call him a military governor. Deputy Assistant Defense Secretary Joseph Collins, briefing Pentagon reporters this week, said Garner doesn't even want to be seen as retired military.
Jay, by the way, tells everybody, to include the sergeants that answer the phone, to call him Jay. He doesn't want to be referred to as General Garner because he sees himself in a civilian organizational capacity.
Garner and his 100-person team are due to head to the Gulf region soon in order to be ready to move into Iraq. A top priority will be to oversee humanitarian aid to displaced, injured, or hungry Iraqis. But the office will also need to reestablish a semblance of government services. It won't be easy. U.S. forces will be stretched thin, and the Iraqi opposition groups, who could be wartime allies, lack the expertise and experience to take charge themselves. As a result, U.S. officials plan to work with the existing Iraqi government structure as much as possible. In the beginning, says one senior administration official, we plan to be conservative, by which he means there'll be no across-the-board dismissal of the Iraqi government leadership. With some exceptions, George Ward, a State Department official on loan to the Pentagon's post-war Iraq team, said this week he and his colleagues are not interested in the talents of Saddam's internal security agents.
And there are other ministries that have purely military usages and paraministries that exist that have served to perpetuate Saddam's regime. Those probably don't have a lot to contribute in the future, but there are other ministries that I've cited where there have been very important Iraqi capabilities.
Another official involved in post-war planning says U.S. authorities intend to use existing local police departments in Iraq to maintain law and order. U.S. officials insist Iraqis with bad human rights records will eventually be excluded from government service, but vetting or weeding out those individuals is a difficult and time-consuming process. George Ward, speaking at the U.S. Institute of Peace, says the work has already begun.
One of the elements of vetting is to put together as much information as you can, and that information can come from several sources. It can come from the people, it can come from records, it can come from outside the country, and we need to be as smart as we can on the day that decisions regarding participation in the administration become a factor.
One U.S. intelligence source says analysts with Iraqi expertise and knowledge are right now hard at work on a who's who of the Iraqi regime. But it's a difficult process. We can only focus on the people we know about, the source says, and we don't know about very many. The official involved in post-war planning says U.S. authorities expect much of this sorting to be done by the Iraqis themselves through retribution. Brutal as it may sound, the official says, war has a way of correcting injustices. By the time we get there, the official says, the worst ones will either be dead or they'll have disappeared. We'll deal with whoever is left standing. That comment reflects the extent to which Pentagon planners expect to stay focused on keeping Iraq stable as the top priority. Even if much of the current Iraqi government could be retained, U.S. commanders would have their hands full. The Army Chief of Staff, General Eric Shinseki, turned some heads at a Senate hearing this week when he predicted the occupation of Iraq could require hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops.
We're talking about post-hostilities, control over a piece of geography that's fairly significant, with the kinds of ethnic tensions that could lead to other problems, and so it takes a significant ground force presence.
The Bush administration is hoping other countries may contribute troops to the occupation force, but there are no guarantees. At this point, Pentagon planners sense that with a victory in Iraq, their work will have only just begun. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.